This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The subvariant known as Omicron, BA5. In the news, I'm looking right now at a report within these last hours from Rhode Island. The BA.5 subvariant of Omicron is now dominant in the CDC's Region 1, New England. At the same time, I'm looking at reporting from California, LA County inching closer to mask mandate, LA County preparing to resume indoor masks, LA County on the verge of another mask mandate because of BA.5. I've also had reporting in these last days of Omicron spiking in Great Britain, in Italy, in Australia. Omicron 5, the dominant that was 1% in May in New England, is now 60%. So I welcome Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute. Henry's a physician, to help me understand, first, Omicron BA5. We've talked about earlier subvariants, BA.1, BA.2, BA.2.12, and BA.4. But here we have something sweeping the world. Henry, a very good evening to you. What is different about BA5, if so, and what is to be done? Let's begin with the differences. Good evening to you, doctor.
Good evening, John. Well, this coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, is highly mutable. And so we've seen a large number of mutations from the original Wuhan variant through the Alpha and on through Delta, which was highly transmissible, and now to Omicron, which has gone through several iterations. BA.5 is the latest, and it has accumulated more mutations, which make it very, very transmissible, and also capable of immune escape. So it's not deterred by immunity that's been conferred by vaccination or even by previous Omicron infection very well. Now, when I say it's not deterred, that's not an absolute, but it is pretty immune resistant. It's a bad bug, and it has infected so rapidly and so widely that it's the dominant variant in the U.S. Over only the past month or two. Its spread has been enabled by people not behaving well, to put it bluntly. People have largely given up masks. Mask mandates have evaporated. Vaccine mandates have also largely disappeared. And this has enabled the virus to spread, and also, even worse potentially, to mutate further, making it possible that we'll see worse variants than BA.5.
Let me translate, Henry. I am vaccinated 4 times by Moderna. There's reason to believe that that is not sufficient to stop Omicron BA.5 if I'm exposed. And I go out very rarely, and I wear a mask. But then again, ventilation is important, and also staying out of obvious challenges, which would be small spaces or meeting with people who appear to be feeling ill. All of that was true in Alpha time and Delta time, and that's true again in Omicron BA.5. Now, you and I have exchanged pictures, Henry, these last days of the tube in London during a heat wave. People, it's not air conditioned. That's why the picture was in the London Telegraph. Or Heathrow, overcrowded, losing luggage, a mess because there's insufficient personnel to take care of all the demand. But at the same time, an enormous space filled with people crisscrossing and worried about their flights, no one masked. Does that suggest that what we're seeing right now is a product of people not employing common sense that would have been true in 21?
Absolutely, John. And as we've discussed previously, it's all a matter of probabilities. And so surges are a function of the characteristics of the virus, of the immunity that the population has, and also the behavior of people whether they mask, whether they social distance, and whether they obtain good ventilation in places where they congregate. And we've been wanting on the last of those terribly in recent weeks and months.
What is to be done? Paxlovid. You have a new piece up about Paxlovid, recommending that it is for high risk and low risk. This is quite consistent with what you've said before, but there is debate about Paxlovid. What is it, and what's the debate?
Well, there are two FDA-related issues here. FDA has issued an emergency use authorization for Paxlovid, a good antiviral combination of two drugs, for infected people with mild to moderate disease and who are at high risk defined fairly broadly, obesity, kidney disease, cardiac disease, pulmonary disease, and so on. When the maker of Paxlovid, Pfizer, did a large clinical study to determine whether it would also be effective in low-risk individuals, the study turned out to be underpowered. That is, there weren't sufficient numbers of subjects in the study to show statistically significant differences between the treated group and the placebo group. But having said that, the trends were all in the correct direction. And so, for example, when you look at hospitalizations, there were 10 persons hospitalized in the placebo group and only 5 in the drug group. And that was true for other endpoints as well. And so my thesis is that FDA could allow what a former FDA commissioner called allowing common sense to intrude on the letter of regulation and expand the emergency use authorization to low-risk patients as well. That would make sense, I think. And a second FDA point is that we're seeing a phenomenon of Paxlovid rebound. So people sometimes are infected, they're symptomatic, they get the drug for the 5-day course and feel better. And then after a few days, their symptoms recur as the virus begins to replicate again. So my thesis there is that the Paxlovid's course could be expanded from the current 5 days to, say, 8 days or 10 days, which would probably eliminate or reduce the Paxlovid rebound. And again, it's a common sense sort of alteration in the emergency use authorization that FDA should implement.
So we're looking at 10 days for Paxlovid that you take as soon as possible after you test positive. Is all that correct? We have 30 seconds, Henry.
Yes, that's right, John. You need to begin the Paxlovid as soon as possible, but certainly within 5 days of symptoms beginning. And the current course is 5 days. Expanding it, I think, to 8 days or even 10 would make sense, even in the absence currently of definitive statistically significant data. That would be a common sense in innovation.
Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute, a physician, recommending masking for those of us who are at high risk, and that would be myself. The place to look for Henry's reporting is henrymillermd.org. I'm John Batchelor.